I am persuaded that nor angels, nor principalities, or power, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created being can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Somebody ought to say amen.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. In the first part of tonight's message broadcast last week, Pastor Brian Grant took us to John chapter 17, where is recorded the real Lord's Prayer, to show how the unity of His people, the Church, was so much on the mind of our blessed Lord as He approached the agony of the cross. Pastor Grant then proceeded to list some reasons why relationships among believers are among the most important things to God. First of all, he showed from Scripture how Christian unity is crucial to the effective witness of the gospel. Secondly, he showed how walking in unity gives glory to God in His wisdom. Now, this evening, we will hear the second part of this message with Pastor Grant picking up again his list of reasons unity among believers is so important to God, why walking in unity is one of the measures of what it means to walk worthy of our calling in Jesus Christ. Once again, here is Pastor Grant with the conclusion of his message entitled, Walk in Unity, Part 1.
So Satan will try to wreck relationships. Amen? Listen, young person, older person, do it God's way. Don't look over the fence. Don't say the grass is so green. God's way is the best way. Amen? So hear what God did in His eternal plan. They had all these folks fighting. Jews fighting Gentiles. As far as the Jews were concerned, we Gentiles were dogs. Jews were finding Gentiles, and any time a Gentile got a hold of a Jew, well, you saw what happened in the Holocaust. You saw what just happened this week. You see, the Gentiles, they have no love for the Jews. Don't just think it's the Jews against the Gentiles. Satan has got us all against each other. Slave versus the big man. We are divided. And God comes with an unbelievable message of unity, and He brings together in the church. This is what He's talking about. This is what this scripture is in context with. Because God, listen, Paul, under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, has revealed to us a mystery that Christ, that the Bible says had been hidden from the beginning of the world. It was a hidden mystery that has now been revealed. The fact that God was going to bring all the folks together, the Jew and the Gentile, the big boy and the little boy, the males and the females, He's going to bring us, all those who trust Jesus, He's going to bring us all together into one body, the body of Christ. What a miracle has happened. There is now neither male or female. There is neither bond or free. There's no Jew or Gentile. We are all one in Jesus. Amen. And so all of a sudden, as you read the book, you suddenly find out that Onesimus and Philemon, Onesimus was the slave who had run away. You remember that? And the Apostle Paul. You hear people talk foolishness about, oh, the Bible supports slavery. No, the Bible doesn't support slavery. But God has a way to solve the problem, because in the church, we are one. So the Apostle Paul writes to the slave owner Philemon, and he says to Philemon, listen Philemon, your slave Onesimus ran away, but I want you to know he ran away because God made him run away so he could receive Jesus Christ as his Savior. He is no longer your slave. He is your brother in Christ. He says you better receive this man as a brother beloved, and he says, listen, receive him as you receive me. And he says, listen, anything he owes you, charge it to me. And he says, and by the way, do you know how much you owe me?
What a miracle. Aren't you thankful for this miracle of grace? Black folks and white folks and Indian folks and Chinese folks and everybody, we are one in Christ. It doesn't matter our race. It doesn't matter our... Listen, hallelujah. It doesn't matter our social class, our bank book. It doesn't matter. We are one in Christ. And I am so thankful I'm a part of this church. And so, God in his eternal plan sends Satan, the great divider, a message of unity. But guess what? Do you think Satan is about to give up? He ain't giving up, you know. But Paul, under the inspiration of the Spirit in Romans chapter 8, as it comes to the end, I'm not going to take the time to go there, but it's interesting that he brings back principalities and powers again. He says, the Apostle Paul says, listen, for I am persuaded, he says, that neither death nor life, nor principalities or powers, that's Satan, the devil, and his angels. He says, I am persuaded that nor angels, nor principalities, or power, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created being can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Somebody ought to say amen. Amen. That's shouting ground. You see, when things started out, Adam and the Lord would come down and fellowship with Adam. But Satan got into the mix and the separation happened. But what God has done in the church, not even the devil in hell can separate us from the love of Christ. Amen. Separation. There is no possibility of separation. We are as secure as if we are in heaven right now. Amen. Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. That's what God has done. We are secure in him. But here is what God is saying. I hope I can communicate this. The church is expected to display to Satan and his forces the manifold wisdom of God. The way you live, the way I live, is sending a message to Satan. You see, as the church walks in unity, we make an irrefutable statement to Satan. We send Satan, the great divider, as you and I walk in unity. We send the great divider an irrefutable message that God's plan works. Amen. We send him an irrefutable message that God's eternal plan that he has devised so long ago, that God's plan works and that God can bring together all those who were at war with each other. He can bring them together and let them have them walk in unity. God's plan works. Oh, I hope this morning you're getting it, young person, older person. I hope you're getting it. This is no longer the time for us to be fighting and fussing. This is the time for the Church of Jesus Christ to get together and to walk together and to serve together. Amen. Our unity matters. Walking in unity gives glory to God's wisdom. So what have we said so far? Number one, relationships are among the most important things to God. Secondly, when we fail to walk in unity, it hinders the gospel. Third, walking in unity gives glory to God's wisdom. Fourth and finally, walking in unity requires a biblical foundation. Many of us remember the famous words of Rodney King. You remember Rodney King? What did he say? Why can't we all just get along? You know, it's good for us to try to get along. There's nothing wrong with trying to get along, right? But I want you to know that when it comes to what folks want us to do, you know, you've heard about the term ecumenical movement, the ecumenical movement, they want us all to just get along. The whole idea is anyone who goes by the name Christian, they believe we should all get along. It doesn't matter what you believe, how different we are in our doctrines. He says, once we say we're Christians, why don't we all just get along? Let me give a warning again to young people, because and older folks too. Just because he say or she say she Christian, you better find out what it means. Because Christian means different things to different people. And oh, I want to warn some of the new future leaders. Thank God for some of you young men and young women here. I just want to warn you, you better make sure you don't try and just get along. Because although the Christian church have differences of opinion, there are some non-negotiables. And this morning, in the next few minutes, I want to quickly cover seven that are in this passage. There are seven non-negotiable foundational doctrines that every Christian must grasp. And I want to make sure, as one of the leaders in this assembly, I want to make sure that we discharge our responsibility and make clear that you understand what the Bible teaches. Every Christian needs to know what they believe. This is no time for young people and adults to be coming to church week after week and have no understanding. What do I really believe? I'm a Christian. And as far as you know, the only thing you know is that Jesus died for your sins. That's not good enough. So let us at least give ourselves seven takeaways. Can we quickly get some takeaways? Amen. Seven quick takeaways. Number one, Ephesians 4. There are seven foundational beliefs of the Christian church. Seven foundational beliefs of the Christian church. I think you need to fill that in, because that's what I'm about to cover, and that's put on the board for you. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4. There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. Isn't it amazing how the Spirit of God works it out? That this oneness, there's seven, is a sevenfold oneness. Seven, the number of perfection. Isn't it amazing that the body of Christ, the one body, is just one of this sevenfold oneness? One body. We believe, come on now, we believe the church is one body made up of individuals from all races who are saved by God's grace and united into one family by the Holy Spirit. Amen? And as I go through each, if you agree with me, you say amen. Amen? Secondly, one Spirit. We believe in the person of the one Holy Spirit. He is the third co-equal, co-eternal member of the Godhead. He is not a force. He is God.
Stay tuned for the conclusion of today's broadcast. To help with your personal walk with God, Pastor Grant has made available printed outlines of today's message with all the scriptures referenced. For your copy, please visit our website, livinggodsway.org, that's livinggodsway.org, or call our office at 215-242-5550. Once again, 215-242-5550. And now, let's return to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
2 years ago, Lifeway Research did a survey of 3,000 people who identified themselves as Christians. Surprisingly, 56% of those identifying themselves as evangelical Christians, that's what we would call ourselves, 56% of those who identify themselves as evangelical Christians believe the Holy Spirit is a force. But in Acts chapter 5, Ananias and Sapphira are condemned for lying to the Holy Spirit. The Apostle Peter says, why did you lie to the Holy Spirit? You see, they had pretended that they had given some money and land, and they really hadn't given it at all. They hadn't given, they only given a little, but they pretended that they gave a lot. And the apostle comes to them and he says, why did Satan enter your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? Stop. Put pause. You don't lie to forces, do you? And then, to clarify, the apostle says, you have not lied to a man. You have lied to God. My friend, if you want to be clear, look again. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 30. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. Here's what it says. And do not what? Grieve who? Do you grieve forces? He says, don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom? Do you see the personal pronoun there? By whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. The Holy Spirit is not a force. He is a person. And this is one of the reasons why you hear talk in one of the passages, the communion of the Holy Spirit, because he's a person with whom we can commune. GCA, you better get this or your talk right. Because let's be honest, every now and then I hear people talking about it. We refer to the Holy Spirit as it. Let's clarify this. Let's make sure it's embedded in our minds and in our hearts that the Holy Spirit is not it. It's he. When he, the Bible says, the Lord Jesus, when he, the Holy Spirit, is come, he is a person. And he personally indwells us. Amen. All right, third, one hope. We believe the hope of the church is the return of our Lord Jesus Christ to take us to heaven. And in John's Gospel chapter 14, Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again to receive you unto myself, so that where I am, there you might be also. But did you know that although Jesus said so, 60% of those in the survey believe that all people will eventually go to heaven. No wonder some people say, I'm okay. Because we're all going to go there. It doesn't matter who you believe or what you believe, we'll all go to him. My friend, if that's what you believe, I want you to know that the devil, the great deceiver, the great relationship killer, is trying to make sure he kills your relationship with God. He wants to make sure that there is no relationship with God. Because my Bible tells me that Jesus himself said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Not every religion goes there. Only those who are born again. Let me ask you, are you born again? Have you been born again? But listen, the fourth, one Lord. We believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. He is the preeminent one, the head of the church, the pre-existing, eternal Son of God, the second co-equal member of the Godhead. And some of you say, where, Pastor, where you got all them stuff for? Hey, I've actually given you scripture references that you could go home and read. I don't have time to go into all of the scriptures, but they're right there for you. And as you read them, you'll see that the Bible actually says that he is the preeminent one, that in him, he might have the preeminence. Amen. But 70% of the self-identified evangelicals in the survey said that Jesus is the first and greatest being created by God. And this is gradually seeping in, where more and more people who say they're Christians will say that Jesus was created by God. But my friend, if you just took the time to read John's Gospel chapter 1 and verse 1, it tells you in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word... And then in John 1:14, it tells you who the Word is. That word, Word, it tells you in verse 14, and the Word what? Became flesh. What's that? And we beheld his glory. Amen. He became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory.
And if you continue reading John 1, it makes it clear who he is, because John the Baptist comes and points him out in John's Gospel chapter 1. And he says, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Hallelujah. Listen, this person who John 1:1 calls the Word is being clearly identified as being Jesus Christ himself.
You say, I don't want you to miss this though, because it says in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then it says, the same was in the beginning with God. Sometimes we don't make a big deal about that little phrase, the same was in the beginning with God. It's a big deal. Because by saying the same was in the beginning with God, what God is letting us know, that Jesus the Son was there, and the Father was also there at the same time. Are you seeing? The same was in the beginning with God. They are not one. Listen, so it's one God, but yet you have two persons there that were together. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was a separate and distinct person. So you're saying, Pastor, how could he be a second and distinct person and be God? How could there be one God? So why do you think you should understand everything? If God is God, part of our problem is our pride, you know? Oh, pride. And we figure, if I can't figure it out, it's impossible. We have to accept the declared revelation of God. And God has declared to us what has happened. And God is telling us there is one God, as we'll come to in a moment. But at the same time, he is telling us that this one God, there are three persons. We've already seen one, the Holy Spirit. Now we're seeing the Son, and we're seeing the Father. This, when I get to heaven, I'll understand. Hey, make sure you get there so we can talk about it. Amen? Because I won't be able to explain it fully till we get there. So please make sure you are there, because actually, you won't need my explanation. Amen. Hallelujah. Listen, point number, where are we? Five. One faith. We believe that salvation, at this denotes, is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Jesus Christ alone. But 64% of those in the research believe that God accepts the worship of all religions. What in the world is going on in the evangelical church when 64% would believe and say a thing like that? Something serious is going on. This is one of the reasons this morning, by the help of the Spirit of God, I wanted to take the time to make sure we know that there are some non-negotiables. Young people, make sure you, when you go to college, don't let anybody twist your little mind around. My Bible tells me in Acts of the Apostles chapter 4 verse 12, listen, neither is there salvation in what? In any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Listen, there is no other name. My friend, I want to ask you this morning, have you come to this person, the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you come to him and received him as your Savior so that you can have a brand new relationship with God? There is no other name except a person is born again. He will never see the kingdom of God. One Lord, hallelujah, one faith, one baptism. As Paul discusses the one body, he mentions the one baptism, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The baptism of the Spirit is the act of the Spirit when he placing the believing sinner into the body of Christ at conversion. I don't have time to read 1 Corinthians 12:13. You read it for yourself. It has absolutely nothing to do with tongues. You read it for yourself. One baptism, one God and Father. We believe in one God and Father. Deuteronomy 6:4 tells us, the Lord thy God is one God. There is only one God, and it does matter who we worship. And so as I end this message,
is your faith built on this foundation? Is your faith built on this foundation? Is your salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone? Oh, I'm so glad on Christ the solid rock I stand, because all other ground is sinking sand. My friend, God is a God of relationships, and He wants to begin a relationship with you. He wants to begin that relationship today, and it can happen if you would open your heart to Him and say, Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for my sin. Today I receive you as my Savior. He wants to begin a relationship. But listen, if you're a Christian, He wants to strengthen your relationship. He wants to strengthen. Listen, this whole subject we're doing about the worthy walk, it's because He wants to strengthen our relationship with Him. But then, hey, part of what He's about, as we strengthen this relationship, He wants us to strengthen it with each other. My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, He would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to Him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and He will answer your prayer and He will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-887-4750 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. And remember to ask for our daily devotional, The Word for You Today. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing to us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for worship this Sunday at 10:45 a.m. It will certainly be a pleasure to meet you. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.